Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with the Kia dealers of Ireland. Wherever the next 7 years bring you, Kia are with you all the way.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715.
And Joe at RT.ie. And over the last week, you would have heard us through callers talking about this phenomenon that existed in Ireland. And we all know about the mother and baby homes, and you're going to know even more about them this week with that 3,000-page report that's about to be released. But the other phenomenon where young pregnant women were billeted in private houses and hidden, basically, sometimes at the request of their family, and hiding the fact that they were pregnant. Now, Sheila O'Bourne. Sheila, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe.
And how are you?
I'm glad.
That's good. Now, Sheila, before you went into a mother and baby home, which we'll talk about in a sec, you were in a family home when you were pregnant.
Yeah, I was. And that was arranged through St. Patrick's Guilds, 82 Haddington Road, the Daughters of Charity.
Okay.
And then I was picked up in Sandymount in the Monsignor parish, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I was picked up from there. But I only stayed there for a short time because I was treated very badly.
And what,
when
were you,
I got out.
And what were you doing in this family home?
Everything. Cheap bottle water. You know, that's all you were, skivvy. And they were paid. They were paid by the government.
But Sheila, you were pregnant.
Yeah.
And what age were you, can I ask?
I was 19, but I was very early, you know, in my early pregnancy.
But still, and they knew you. The reason you were in their home was because you were pregnant.
Yeah.
And they had you, what'd you say, chief bottle washer?
Chief bottle washer. And I was moving big furniture, you know, Chesterfield suite from upstairs down. And then I trip up on the third step, you know, and we got looking up. The other person that was there, you know, didn't let it go, or I probably wouldn't be here now talking to you. But I said to myself, it's time to get out. So I got out of there.
Well done.
You know what? I got out, and then I signed myself in to 381 St. Patrick's Mother and Baby Home, Navan Road, Cabra, Dublin, Daughters of Charity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Sheila, just come back briefly to that image. You're 19 years of age. You're pregnant, and we'll talk about the reason why you couldn't do it. Whatever reason that you had to end up in this place, but you're in this family home. You're 19. You're pregnant, and that's the reason you're there. And you're carrying a Chesterfield suite, and you have to take it down the stairs. Are you saying you were at the bottom of the suite?
I was at the bottom.
Ah,
I was at the bottom, holding the bottom part of it, and the other person was holding the top.
So if it had come down on top of you, your baby would have been gone.
I would have been gone because the weight of those are very heavy.
Okay.
So you know, and then the coal and the turf was where in the room I was in. It was like a freezer, you know.
Where did you sleep?
There was a tiny little bed, but, you know, as I said, you were up doing the work. You did all the chores that had to be done. You know, and I didn't have any money, so they had an accounting shop, so I got the mineral bottles and I collected the money on the mineral bottles and hid the money in the garden in the dirt, and I said, I'm getting out of here, so I to get the bus out of it. So there was no bus when I got out of the place.
Yeah.
There was no bus. There was a snow blizzard, and I walked in that snow blizzard, and I ended up with my friends. I went to my friends, and then I ended up in St. Patrick's. That was the best place to go because there was nowhere else to go. I mean, church and state dwarfed everyone, you know, all the families in the chapel, and, you know, about the original sin for breaking it. You know, this is a terrible, terrible sin to commit. And, you know, to have somebody pregnant out of wedlock is a terrible thing. And the parish, and then the neighbours, and the shame you've brought on your family. Now, I don't blame my family at all. I blame the church and the state because they drummed it into everyone that this is a terrible, terrible wrong. A terrible wrong.
Yeah.
And it was a terrible wrong. And I know my family loved me. They did. Mm. But as I said, I made my way into St. Patrick's.
And by the way, Sheila, did you feel you were escaping from that house?
Yeah.
How did you get out with your bits and pieces?
I hid them at the bins. I hid them because they used to walk, you see.
Yeah.
And I was looking after their little boy as well. Okay. So I hid my stuff out in the garden behind the bins.
Good.
Yeah. So I knew then when the dinner finished,
right,
that was the time to get out. You know, I said, I'll clear, just put it out in the bin, you know, the waste.
Oh, of course, yeah.
And I liked this. That's when I liked
good
it.
Good woman. Good woman, yeah,
I said, I'm not staying here. No.
Into the blizzard, as you say.
Into the blizzard. I thought there'd be a bus, but there wasn't. So I walked it. I said, so somebody guided me and looked after me.
And you ended
up made my way.
Okay. And you decided then yourself to go into the mother and baby home and St. Patrick's on the Navan Road.
Yeah.
And how? But what's that process? How did you get in, so to speak? Did you just?
I knocked on the door.
Okay.
And,
okay.
Yeah, I knocked on the door and I came in, and a woman, she was a nice woman. She opened the door and I signed my name in the ledger, and she just sent me up to the dormitory, and then I had to go down to the Reverend Mother the following morning, and she asked me what I can do. I said, I'm good with children. And she said, well, off you go now to the nursery. So I looked after the sick and the dying babies in St. Patrick's, you know. And every day I went into that nursery, there was always somebody gone, you know. There was an empty cot.
Do you mean they had died or they'd been...
Yeah, they died. Yeah. And as well as that, I looked after women in there, you know, that was broken-hearted over their baby dying. I looked after women that, you know, had a disability. There was one woman in there and she had the mind of a 7-year-old, and she was in there 4 times, seemingly. And the last baby, she had it in the toilet. And there was no justice for that individual, you know what I mean? That poor woman, no justice. But she used to sit at the end of my bed every night in the dormitory, and I'd have to bring her back and say, come on, love, and I'll bring you back there. And so I did that. And then I knew another little girl. We're talking about the little mothers here. You know, these were, most of them were rape victims, you know?
Yeah.
And that little one had twins. You know, she was only 11. But no justice for that poor unfortunate, you know.
You're saying an 11-year-old girl had twins.
11-year-old. Oh, there was 11-year-olds, yeah. Oh, there was in there, yeah. I remember the little one as clear as day, yeah.
Okay. And
I can remember her.
Your own baby, Sheila. Do you want to talk about your own baby?
Yeah. I'll talk about... I had a mixed-race baby.
Okay.
And you were treated worse than, you know, you were treated very badly, you know, because they wanted you to have the white baby. But unfortunately, I was having the mixed race baby. Yeah. So they really gave me a raw deal in there. Not just myself, but others as well. Mm-hmm. I always speak about others as well, because I never just include myself. But the work was tough. It was hard work. You know, you did an awful lot of work in there. And you were up at the crack of dawn. But right through.
But Sheila, you know the way you went down to the Reverend Mother the morning after you knocked on the door?
Oh, yeah.
And did she say to you, now, we're going to get a doctor to look after you because you're pregnant, and we want to, how are you feeling, and is everything okay? And
now, what they did was, she found out that I had a fall. I was actually bleeding, you know.
Yeah.
And I was bleeding. So they sent me for a scan. Now, it's down on my file that I went to
the Rotunda. The Coombe. Okay.
But I know I went to Hospital 5, St. Kevin's.
St. James.
I can remember the building as clear as day.
Yeah.
I know Kevin's.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, it's now James's.
Yeah.
But I went in there and they did a scan. But I was brought in a blue van. I always remember it like you were well hidden. You know, and they did the scan, and then I was brought back. Everything was, lucky enough, everything was all right.
So
that was after the fall.
Up to the time that your baby was born, how were you working close to being.
Yeah, I was, and I'm going to tell you, Joe, I had the shingles. Well, I always forget to mention it. I had the shingles as well, but they didn't care about that. You know, you had to do your work, you know. And I was very, very sore, but I dealt with it. I just carried on working in there. And the work, and I'm going to say as well, between the Daughters of Charity and the Bon Secure Nuns collaborated with the Daughters of Charity in there. And you also had the Sacred Heart Nuns. They paid, they were there too. They were all in it together. And I can remember a nun, she was Bon Secure's, and she said to me, "Now, Sheila," she said, "don't you ever tell anyone that you are here, because you're damaged goods. And you'll never, ever, ever be accepted in society. So my advice to you is to never tell anyone at all." That's what she said to me. Yeah. And I don't forget that.
Yeah. And you've
now, I got a few hidings in there, but, you know, I stood up for others, you know. I was always standing up. I still am standing up for the mothers. But,
And Sheila, your baby being born then?
Yeah, I was made go around the grounds of St. Patrick's for 39 hours when I went into labour. And then they brought me in.
Yeah.
And I was in the height of it. I was in an awful way. I was having difficulty, you know, with the birth. And
you were very young. You were only 19, 20.
I was very young. I was very naive. I mean, most of the women were naive, God love them.
Yeah, yeah.
And as I said, you know, the nun shouting in at me saying, "Keep your voice down in there." Now, I'm in the height of pain, you know, no medication.
You're in labour.
Yeah, I was in the height of it. And "keep your voice down in there, you're lowering the tone of the building." You know, that's what was shouted in at me. And then eventually they had to get the doctor because there was difficulty, but the baby came. And anyway, I had a breach in my senses standing up. And I don't forget anything at all. I forget nothing. Yeah. But I know that they destroyed me. And I was hemorrhaging after. I was in an awful way, after that. So with that, when my son came into the world, because he was mixed race, they said to me, "Oh, what have you got here? What is this?" That's what they said. Yeah. That's what they said. "What is this? What we got here?"
A gorgeous, beautiful baby.
A beautiful baby. And they wouldn't allow me to touch him, look at him. And I got up and I was looking after the other babies in there, you know. But I wasn't allowed to touch my own. No. No touching, no looking.
And did you hold them?
They wouldn't let me. No. The only time I held him was at the christening in the chapel in St. Patrick, where he was christened. And the priest wasn't too happy with the christening money, so he interfered with me in the chapel.
What?
You know. And you couldn't say anything about it because you'd end up in the asylum because you wouldn't be believed. So I couldn't say anything about that to anyone in there because if it was said, you know, you'd be taken away, which I saw other mothers being taken away by the white coats, you know. But,
and your baby, what happened to your beautiful baby boy?
My beautiful baby, I was made stand on the steps of St. Patrick's for punishment and watch him go.
And where did he go?
And then he eventually ended up in Temple Hill, in St. Teresa's Temple Hill, Sine Hill, Blackrock. Daughters of Charity. And when I got out of there, but before that, now I'd like to say this. I always remember going back when I was in the kitchen. I used to bring the food, the scraps, because an animal was fed better. And I'll always say an animal was fed better than we were. And the babies were treated terrible, you know.
Mm.
They were fed. They weren't given the right foods. There was no SMA. There was no Cowngate. I didn't see no Fairlie's Rust. I didn't see any of it. I just seen a kind of a pasted food, kind of a like a wheel biscuit. It wasn't, you know, that type of way. And you had a ward called the reject ward, and I used to be told to bring things from the nursery I was in down to the other ward. And that's where they kept all the mixed race, you know, and the babies with disabilities, and, you know, they were kept there and they were treated terrible. It was horrible. It was
and when
so
when your baby was taken to Sion Hill or to Temple Hill in Black Rock, did you get to see him there?
I got a letter to go to Temple Hill when I came out to go and see him for the last time. So I went to see him, and they said, only looking, no touching. They were at it there as well. I mean, so I just said to him, I have to put you before me. I don't have a right. I don't have any rights or anything. You know, nobody to help us. There's no one that's going to help us. And we can't go. I can't bring you home. I can't.
You're speaking. You're saying this to your baby.
Yeah, I'm saying this to my son. Yeah.
And were you allowed to hold him?
No. Only look.
You can look, but you can't touch.
Yeah. Only look.
So you're trying to explain to this 3-month-old baby why we're the two of you, you and your gorgeous son, are in this situation.
And I said to him, now it's like this. I have to put you first. Yeah. I don't have a choice. Like many other mothers didn't have a choice. And I had to say my goodbye to my son there and then. And I said, I want to give you security, and I have to make sure that you're secured and you'll be looked after and given a good life, because I have nothing and I can't give you that life. But I actually went back working, because I got leave out of the job for as long as I wanted. You know, they were very understanding about my situation at the time. And I was allowed to go back to work. You know, but when I came out after saying my goodbye, I got on that 45 bus, and, you know, I was in an awful state. My heart was broke. I couldn't deal, you know, and you can't talk to no one.
Yeah.
So then straight into South Ann Street I went.
Yeah,
and up the wooden stairs in South Ann Street, and there was I was brought in.
The adoption agency, wasn't it?
Yeah, the adoption, And she said, now, she just said, come over. She said, wait a minute. So I was sitting there waiting. And I'm really brokenhearted at this stage. And so she just said to me, sign there and sign there. Now, as I said, there was no solicitor. There was nobody there to help you, to say, well, I can do this for you. You know what I mean? Without you having to do that.
Even hold your hand after going through that often. And it's ongoing. And
it's ongoing.
And you know,
and when you think, Joe, when you think about it, going back then, we weren't allowed to vote when we were 21. So what choice would a woman have? None. There was none.
There was loads of things in society that were so anti women. And Sheila, do you know where your baby went?
For years and years, I had an emptiness in me, and I tried to get doors open, and nobody was helping me. No one. I couldn't get the doors open. So I found out in any way that, I always say the Eastern Health Board or the Southern Health Board, and then they've a different name on it. So I went to Blanchestown, and I got there. So I pretended I was delivering the parcel. So I made sure to bring my passport with me. And I got in and I said, this is my passport. And I said who I was. And I said, I'm here. I said, and I want my file, my property.
Yeah.
I said, because I need to know whether my son is dead or alive.
Okay.
So she said, no, that the files weren't there. So I was living in Cork then. So I went back. And I said, I have to do something. Something's got to happen. I've got to do something. So with that then, I went to Billy Kelleher. He was in Dillon's Cross.
The TD, yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, Billy, was in the health at the time. So he said, you leave this with me. So Billy Kelleher appointed a social worker for me.
Right.
To find my son. And the very first meeting that I ever had with the social worker was, can you get me my property, my file?
Yeah.
Because I want it.
Okay.
And she did. She right. got it.
And did you find your son?
Yeah, she found him for me.
Okay.
Yeah, and he's very educated. He's very successful.
Great.
And we have a great relationship.
Oh, brilliant.
And he said to me in the last letter that he wrote to me, keep up the fight for the mother and baby home.
Well done.
You're doing great. We've been outside that dial.
I know you have.
For years.
I know you have.
Yeah. And especially, I have to say it now, yeah. And one of the oldest of all of us that was there, the mothers, was the mother of Tuam, Rose
yeah.
McKinney.
Yeah.
And Rose
yeah.
lives in Cabra. And I was outside the dial with our daughter. We were, and Christine Noble was with us as well.
Yeah.
Christine was one of the mothers from St. Patrick's. And there was Catherine Coffey O'Brien from Bessper, one of the mothers. And then we had Anne O'Gorman, one of the mothers from Bessper, who's trying to find baby Evelyn, the burial, you know, of
yeah.
where the marking, where the 900 that's in Bessper is, in the unmarked graves there. And fair play to Catherine Coffey O'Brien. She wrote to the Pope and asked the Pope to assist and asked the daughters of the Sisters of the Sacred Heart to attend and see could they find and give answers
yeah, absolutely.
For Anne O'Gorman to find the marking of baby Evelyn O'Gorman.
Okay.
In the
and as you say, you've done it again because it's in your DNA, Sheila. You've started campaigning, but you've always been campaigning for others.
I've always campaigned.
But in this conversation,
For years. And then we have, as I said, I was talking to Margaret, that's Rose's daughter, when we were demonstrating outside the dial. There was a load of the Irish First Mothers, we were all there, you know, and there was a load of us there from St. Patrick's, Bessper, Dunboyne. There was a load of us, all
list.
Mothers. And we were there and anyway, and I must say now I have to give great gratitude to Cathy McMahon. Cathy McMahon started the Irish First Mothers, and that woman went over to the European courts over in Geneva, and she got a weakness, God love her, and she was going to fight for the rights for the mothers, for every mother, every baby, every child, and all the illegal burials in every mother and baby home in Ireland for justice. And she took a weakness, and she had a heart attack and she died.
Okay.
And I will always respect her, and I'm sorry that she's not here.
And
I'm sorry that woman isn't here today, now that we're going to get the apology on Wednesday.
And Sheila, God rest Catherine. For Sheila, did you give evidence to this commission?
I did. I gave evidence.
Okay.
I gave my evidence to the commission.
Well, will you say with us, and I'll talk about that after this break. 51551, my chance.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
I'm talking to Sheila O'Brien. Sheila contacted us, and because of this one angle on this awful period in Irish history, recent period, by the way, not the 1870s or 1860s or 1880s, the 1970s and 1960s, 1980s. But Sheila was the topic that we were covering last week, what calls we were getting about, and we managed to reunite a few people with the families that they lived with during their pregnancy. And but Sheila told a different story, and she ended up in the mother and baby home in St. Patrick's on the Navan Road. Now, you gave evidence to the commission. What did you've incredible recall, Sheila, so I'm sure you were just able to tell them your story.
Oh, yeah, I told them
the
facts. I told them exactly how we were treated.
Well,
actually, they did say that you were very cooperative in everything that you've given. Like, I spoke about the mother. There was a mother, and she was brokenhearted, and she said, my baby died. And I said, did you see the baby? She said, no. I said, well, then where is the baby? I mean, where is it?
And when you went to the commission, were you in front of, was it one person, two people? What way did it work out?
There was about six people there.
Oh,
on
was
the
there?
Panel.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, and they said to me, well, you know, you can't lie. I said, I'm not going to lie. I said, I'm going to tell you the truth.
And Sheila, what do you think the government should do this week? What will make a difference?
Well, now, the way I look at it is, you know, there's been between the poor mothers that lost their babies and, you know, that's left brokenhearted and trying to find them in illegal burial grounds. I mean, that right was taken from the mother to be actually present at the burial of their baby. Because the reason why they did that, because they actually used the word contaminate. That word was used. Because that's why they wouldn't be allowed buried because because you broke the original sin. So they weren't allowed to bury them in sacred
in
ground.
Consecrated ground, yeah.
Yeah, that's... And
so you're
no
so why are you saying one and which is Catherine Carlos is the instigator of all this,
I know Catherine,
yeah,
I've met her.
Right. But do you think that's really important? It is really important. I know it is. But do you think it's a priority that the children who died, and apparently there was 9,000, that they should be properly remembered and their burial place should be properly properly looked after and memorialised?
A memorial. Well, I'm working on... Well, I've been working a long time for St. Patrick's as well, you know, to get that, to get them in there. And actually, there's a man, and he's going to make a seat, a wooden seat. Now, not like a seat in the park, but this man, you know, he's going to do the craft into it. And found out about me with all the work I've been doing for the mothers and for the babies and the children and fighting for justice for the living and for the well-being.
Great.
And all that has to, a lot, not just me, but we have Captain Coffee on Brian.
I know you have your great. You always include, Sheila, all the other workers.
Yeah,
I never say it's about me.
It's about all of us.
Stay with us,
and
Sheila.
And then I have to say now, I give great gratitude to Maurice Patton O'Connell. We have another community group there. Well, we don't call ourselves a group. There's Magdalen's Industrial School, and Mother and Baby Homes, and we have Doc T's there. But these, the work that's done, and Maurice Patton O'Connell, my God, he went through the mill. And all their mothers went through asylums and went through all this. The stuff was horrific that happened to
just
them.
Just the experience.
You know, and fair play to him. He's one man, I have to give it to him, that stands up. He's a great man, along with Catherine Coffey O'Brien.
Okay.
And of course, myself, I never stopped the fight.
I know you didn't. I
was outside the Dáil about 3 weeks ago and, you know, standing for justice for all who died. And we only lost a few mothers there a few months ago.
That's happened, yeah.
With Joan McConvey. And all God love her. All she ever wanted was justice.
Yeah.
She wanted the chair thing to go up the stairs.
The stair lift. Sheila, stay with us. Because Deirdre, you talk about the age. Deirdre, good afternoon. You're listening to Sheila, but your mother is still alive, thankfully.
Hi. Yeah. Yeah, so she is. She'll be 101 next February, and
she was in the mother and baby home.
She was up on the Navan Road in St. Patrick's.
Yeah, where Sheila was.
And
what age was she, Deirdre?
She was 19. My mother was 19, so it's a long time ago. She was homeless for a few nights before she went in because she was afraid to tell her father that she was pregnant. So I was just saying it to your receptionist there that she, one of the nights she was homeless, she walked by this little roadworks, a little night watchman had a little hut there. And
remember, with the fire, with the brazier,
with the brazier out front.
Yeah.
And she sidled up to him and she said, could I warm my hands? And so he asked her what was wrong, why was she out at this hour of the night? And she told him, so he said, get in behind me there and you can stay there for the night. He said, I'd bring you home, only there's 13 of us at home in the one room and down in Mountjoy Square. So Okay. He told her about St. Patrick's, and that's what she did then. She went up and knocked on the door.
Did she want to give up her baby, Deirdre?
No, she didn't actually give up.
Oh, did she? Great. Brilliant.
Yeah, but Joe, I have to say, like, you know, it's only listening to my mother and the pressure that they put on her to give my sister up for adoption. Like, all of those women who are... I know the pressure they were put under. You know, my mother was told, you've nothing to offer this child, they said.
Gosh.
We have a family ready and waiting in America, professional people.
Well, your mother is one incredible woman that can stand that pressure.
But she really is. Yeah. And for 3 years then, they put so much pressure on her that she had to leave the mother and baby home at one stage. And still she wouldn't give my sister up. So she said, I'll go out and work and I'll pay you to keep my child until I have something for her, until I find somewhere for us. So for 3 years she worked and paid the nuns up there to keep Colette.
Yeah, that's incredible. Stay with us, Deirdre. 51551 Watch.
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
Sheila Bourne with me is talking about her own story, and not just a private home when she was pregnant, but then St. Patrick's on the Navan Road, and how she was forced to give up her beautiful baby. But they subsequently met again, and they have a fantastic relationship. And listening to Sheila, you know why he's so proud of her and her campaign. Deirdre's mother, who's now 101, was pregnant, ended up in St. Patrick's on the Navan Road, but pushed and insisted and worked incredibly hard to hold on to the baby that she gave birth to. Her name and the name we're using is Colette. Annie, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe.
Sorry for holding you. You were pregnant in the 1980s and you went into a family home forced as well, did you, Annie?
I did. I went into a nun called Sister Anne. She was in South Ann Street at Cura. And she had a family set up for me. They lived down in Kimmage, and they couldn't have been better. They were like the best people I've ever come across in my life. They were wonderful.
And how long did you stay with them for, Annie?
Well, actually, I come from the south of Ireland, and I was pretty heavily pregnant before I managed to get to Dublin. But I had to be, I went up there in December. And I was able to come home at Christmas time. It was all very, very confusing. You become very resourceful in cases like this. And I went back up, and the baby was born in February.
Okay. And did you feel you had to keep it a secret, Annie?
Well, you see, when I was living with the family in Dublin, to them it was an anathema to have somebody in my position. I wasn't 19 years old. I was a good bit older.
Okay.
But coming from, I was able to kind of acquaint them with the thinking in rural Ireland. Mm-hmm. And really, they were very, very different worlds, to be honest with you. I educated them, because they came back later. Now, they were fantastic people, but they did have friends who lived down in County Cork, in rural Cork.
Okay.
And afterwards, she said to me, you know, when you came up here, we thought it was all a bit, a bit strange to have to hide and to have to be so concealing with something like this. But she said, yes, in actual fact, talking to her friend down in Cork, she said, you have no idea what people think about girls like that.
And I know
how it sticks and holds on forever and ever. And even when they get, subsequently get married or whatever, this stuff never leaves. They're tarred with this for their lives. And for myself, I was, like I said, I wasn't a youngster. And I had seen an awful lot of misery in families because of babies being born, what they call the wrong side of the sheets down here. So it's a terrible expression. But I mean,
and I know you gave your baby up for adoption, but you've reunited.
Yes.
When, Annie?
Yeah. Well, about a year ago.
Brilliant.
About a year ago. And what happened really, and I wouldn't be in the position if I hadn't had the most excellent of counselling.
See,
I never mentioned it to anybody for, over 30 years.
Wow.
And when I did, you convince yourself
And I my problem is, Annie, I'm over time, which I feel awful about. But no, we're going to talk to you again if you will allow us, because I can just see
we will.
Yes. Because I just look at the number of calls I've disappointed here today, and I appreciate. I know you were holding there for nearly 40 minutes. Quick break.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.